You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today. Happy Wednesday. Hey, it's hump day already. Thanks for joining us here. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Wednesday to join us here as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Prior to getting started with today's broadcast, I just want to invite you guys to church here tonight. If you're looking for a church home, if you're free on Wednesday nights, even if you go to another church and you're free on Wednesday nights, I invite you to attend our service here tonight. If you're tuned into the 5:30 rebroadcast, you guys still have 28 minutes to make it to church. We're going to have another excellent time in the book of 2 Peter. That's where we're at. This is be the last week in that study, I believe. We are in chapter 3. There's only 3 chapters there. We've been going through here following the Apostle Peter. What an awesome guy is Peter. Man, the Lord Jesus really used him like no one else that we see in the New Testament. That brings us to where we're at here today. We're in Acts chapter 8, and we're looking at the Samaritans. We're seeing the Lord's prophecy fulfilled that this gospel will be preached in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We're seeing that happening. Now, here were the Samaritans. They heard the gospel. They were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. We're looking at the reason why here today, hence the name of this sermon, Acts chapter 8 and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is part 2 of this message. You can find the video for it on our YouTube page, Island Community Church. Love to see you guys at church, 6 o'clock tonight. Here is part 2 now of this message. Well, sometimes they're more right than they realize, you see. Get rid of the demon and then the other problems are gone. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes. Drug companies can't heal this and cure this all the time. Sometimes the problem is demonic. Get rid of the demon and then everything works out, takes care of itself. The man that was paralyzed didn't need surgery. He needed an exorcism. Not surgery. It's not always the one thing. That's what I'm trying to say. Everyone got me? Jesus spent 31% of his ministry casting out devils. And he never destroyed one of them. He left them. They're all still around. He never killed any of them. Some got thrown down there in the chains of darkness waiting for judgment day. But that's only some. Some of the sick and the lame and the paralyzed. Okay, let's move on. Verse 8. And there was great joy in the city. So here's another man with great spiritual power and authority. This Philip. I just want to make sure everyone's taking me the right way here. I'm not saying anyone that's paralyzed or anyone that's lame. I mean, someone just told me they were going to the doctor for their foot. Who was that? You told me that. Now, don't go home and say to Brian, Pastor Paul says I've got a demon and that's why my foot hurts. Okay? Let's be plain right from the get-go. I'm not saying that you have a demon. I'm saying that sometimes we read in the Bible that people can't walk and it's not a question of a physical ailment. Sometimes the problem is deeper than that. That's all that we're saying. So, whereas anyone else would say you're crazy, you can't ever consider that, we need to consider that. So that's all I'm saying. I want to make myself clear here. And some people that are paralyzed, hey, some people have been in a car accident and they're paralyzed. Some people got hurt and they're paralyzed. I'm not saying they have a demon. That can be a real, legit, broken bone. You're going to, you know, I'll tell you what, you're not going to find any demon on an x-ray when you go in for an MRI. You're not going to see, you'll see a breaking bone,
broken bone, but you're not going to see a demon on there going, blah. That's not going to show up in the MRI.
Though that would make for a good... wonder how much I could get for that on eBay.
Blah. So verse 7, these demons cried out with a loud voice. Meaning these demons were upset. These demons maybe thought judgment day was here. Here comes this Philip dude with the fire of the Holy Spirit on the inside of him, and he's upsetting the broccoli cart here, and they're all upset, bent out of shape. The unclean spirits cried out, it says, with a loud voice. Now, coming up, we're going to meet someone here who, for $1,000 seed, can heal anyone if you got enough money. This man we're going to run into now, this man sees dollar signs in his future. Verse 9. Now, there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was somebody great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because, don't miss that word there, they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Simon, now, this guy is known in theology circles as Simon Magus. Like the word magi here. Here it's just singular. Magi is plural. This is this magos, this one, known as Simon Magus. They heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries. So they heeded him, not because of his words, but because of his lying signs and wonders. Not because of his words. Why do men and women keep chasing after signs and wonders all the time? Now remember, even people full of demons can perform various signs and wonders. Better yet, lying signs and wonders. Jesus said, Matthew 24:24, he said, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even you." Even the elect. Revelation 13 says as much. He, that's the last, the false prophet, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. Imagine this in your lifetime, or at least your children. He deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. He makes fire come down from heaven. He deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs. That's Revelation 13, 13 and 14. This from the Apostle Paul. The coming of the Antichrist is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. They're not legit. They're lying wonders. Let me say this. All signs and wonders today that carry no weight. You know why? We just learned this on Wednesday night. Because we've got a more sure word of prophecy. I used to hear it at the radio. They say, I'm calling down signs and wonders tomorrow night. I'm running the other way if you say that. I don't want to hear that. Look, Peter, the man who has seen Moses, he has seen Elijah. He has heard the audible voice of God. He says, we've got something even better than that, and it's the word of God. You don't need to chip. That is a dangerous thing, to be chasing signs and wonders. You've got all the signs and wonders you need. It's right here. Jesus is gone. I'm looking for his return. Do not chase after these signs and wonders, because The only time you see those things now, it's evil people doing these things. These things were done so you would know Jesus Christ as Lord. Now you've got your Bible that tells you that. We've got the prophetic word that's made more sure. This is better than an eyewitness, Peter said. Peter wrote that himself. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter has seen Jesus. He's seen Moses. He's seen Elijah. And he says, my Bible is better than all that. He said, my Bible is better than the audible voice of God. My Bible's better. It's better than that. Don't chase these kind of things. This is where there's a problem here. That's how these guys fell, and that's how people fall out here today. Because they go to these different services chasing signs and wonders. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Okay, notice the difference. Simon the sorcerer performed tricks like David Copperfield, but everyone believed Philip because he preached the word of God. Not signs and wonders, he preached the word. If you're attracted to signs and wonders, anything can happen to you. If you're attracted to this book, then you guys won't get sore if we're still here at 12 o'clock today. It is what it is. This attracts people. It's not me. I'm just the crazy hair preacher up here. It's the Word of God is what you guys are addicted to. You just can't get enough. So we see the difference here. So verse 13. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and he was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. So, was this legit? No way was this legit. He thought baptism was some secret elixir for obtaining the power that Philip had. Verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, look what it says. He offered them money for it. I see. Since baptism didn't work, he didn't receive this power when he was baptized, you see. Since he didn't get the power that he craved since getting baptized, now he's going to go to plan B now. And he says, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And I'll add, speak in tongues. Make no mistake about it. This is what the Lord has shown me here through studying this week. This was about speaking in tongues is what this was about. I mean, certainly, if they were laying hands on people and people wanted to volunteer at the food pantry, he wouldn't have wanted a part of that. If he laid hands on people and they volunteered to join Sharon and Sharon and cleaning the toilets in here every week, they wouldn't have wanted a part of that. This was about speaking in tongues. This is why he was obsessed with this and wanted a part of that. So he says, give me this power also, that on anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. See, the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit at this time was speaking in tongues. And that is what this guy craved for. This is what he wanted, this power that he had. So Peter said to him, this is verse 20, he says, your money perish with you. Boy, he sure treated him better than he did Ananias and Sapphira, right? Drop dead. Here come the feet that buried your husband are coming for you now. At least he didn't respond that way to this guy. He just said, your money perish with you.
Things you never want the Apostle Peter to say to you, part 17. Let your money perish right alongside you.
Yikes, who wants to hear that from Peter?
Once again, look at his next words here in verse 20. Look what he says. Listen to what Peter says. Look how Peter is an extension of Jesus now here on earth. Now that Jesus is gone, look at the things that Peter can do. Look at the next three words. Because you thought. This is not Jesus talking. It's Peter.
Because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. See, Peter knew what Simon Magus was thinking. I know he gave some of it away. He mentioned money. But he's not done yet. He knew what people were thinking. Verse 21, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see, all right, that's the third thing now. So he knows your thoughts, he knows your heart, and now he knows what the person's sin is from looking at him. And same as Jesus. For I see that you were poisoned by bitterness and you're bound by iniquity. He's sure come a long way from let's build three tents. One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, right? Look at these things Peter knew. He knew his thoughts. He knew his heart feelings twice. He knew the person's specific sin. Verse 24, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So this is more evidence that this event is strictly limited to the early church. Because there are no more apostles, first of all. And secondly, it doesn't take generally, let's say, the laying on of hands for someone to receive the Holy Spirit. There's no apostles to lay hands on you anymore. This was a special, one-time, specific event, obviously limited to this age and to the beginning of the church, and limited to this particular ethnic group, Samaritans. When we get to chapter 10, we'll see the Holy Spirit fall on everyone who's heard the word. Now, let me say, this scripture is used erroneously by Pentecostals and Charismatics to affirm this teaching. The baptism of the Holy Spirit happens to a believer at a later time, if at all. Charismatics and Pentecostals believe that sometime after you become a believer, if you want it bad enough, God will do another work in you, which they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this enables you to speak in tongues and become a prophet and gives you the powers that other Christians do not possess. And that sounds a lot like Simon the sorcerer here. Here in Acts chapter 8, he craved this. And to prove this doctrine, these groups I just mentioned to you, the Pentecostals and Charismatics, they take you right here to this text that we're looking at to prove this, that if you don't speak with tongues, you're not a legitimate Christian. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 again. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. They didn't send Peter and John anywhere else, but they sent them here. Who, when they had come down, verse 15, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, so you can't say these guys had the wrong baptism. Like those in chapter 19, when we get to them at Ephesus. He says, didn't you receive the Holy Spirit? They says, we haven't even heard if there's a Holy Spirit. He says, into what then were you baptized? Well, we got baptized in John's baptism. You can't say that here. They got baptized, right? But they didn't have the Holy Spirit. What gives? What made these Samaritans different and special from every? Why did they evidently not receive the Holy Spirit like everyone else did? Let me answer that question. First of all, these guys were Samaritans. Okay? Let's put that in perspective. Samaritans were absolutely despised. They were hated. These guys were hated so much, even God didn't like them, at least in the past. Here's a good axiom to remember. Ways to know you're in trouble, part one, when even God doesn't like you. A Samaritan used to be a Jew. And when they returned to their homeland after their exile, they settled down in the area, but they intermingled with foreigners and corrupted their seed and took heathen, godless women to wed, and their offsprings were, well, you see them all the time at the pet stores out here, mutts. The animosity between Jews and Israelites began immediately after the division, as Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom in Israel. Immediately after the division, Jeroboam the king changed the worship of the Israelites. No longer did the inhabitants of the north travel to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice and worship. Instead, the king set up idols of false gods in Dan and Bethel. Later, after Israel's fall to the Assyrians, they began to intermarry with the Assyrians, contrary to Deuteronomy 7. This is why the Jews hated the Samaritans and considered them as dogs or half-breeds. Even Jesus himself said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Now, knowing what we now know, seeing a Samaritan wanting to join the church in the eyes of a predominantly Jewish congregation is the equivalent of Joseph Goebbels and Adolf Hitler and Joe Stalin all declaring that they're Christians now. And they want to come to Israel. And they want to hang out with all these Jews here. You see, the response to that would be, not so fast, Smedley, not so fast, not so fast. Mr. Hitler, you now want to be a Christian, huh? Okay. Let's see if God's really in this or not. So here's what we're going to do, you see. Hitler wants to be a Christian. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to send old John and Pete down there now. And they will tell us if these guys are legit. I know, we'll just send Pete there. Peter reads minds. Peter reads hearts. Peter knows what people are thinking. Peter tells people to drop dead. He'll instruct us what to do, right? This was such anathema to a Jew that a Samaritan wanted to be a Christian now. It's going to take the parting of the Banana River for me to believe that. So I know we'll send Pete down there. He'll tell us whether or not this is legit. The man can read minds. He'll tell us whether or not this is legit or not. Right? You can't use the book of Acts for your template on how to do Christianity. If you want a book for a template on how to do Christianity, why don't you try the book of Romans? Start there. Or he's been preaching on Philippians. Start there. You want to know how to do Christianity? Don't take the book of Acts. Take the book of Philippians or Romans. Start there. That's where you go. This is not a proof of some kind of second baptism for someone. It's not the book of Acts. That's the birth of the church. This was a one-time, unique, special event because no one would believe that God would accept a Samaritan as a Christian. A few months prior, their Savior called them dog. Now, as for you, my church family, Write these verses down and remember these. They're on your handout. The next time a Christian lets on that he's better than you are, this is my greatest pet peeve in Island Community Church. So much so that I rewrote the church's doctrine and statement of faith. Is this damnable heresy that another Christian is better than you. They're on your handout. There's three of them. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. All right? Colossians 2:10. You are complete. You lack nothing as a Christian. The second one, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We've been looking at this on Wednesday nights. As God's divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, you and I have got everything that we need to live a good Christian life and to live a godly life. No Christian is better than you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. You can't go back to the Samaritans and use that for your template for how to do Christianity. You go to Romans chapter 10 for your template on how to do Christianity. All call in the name of the Lord will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's your template for how to do Christianity. Not Christianity when it's 2 weeks old. No one understand every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit of God at conversion. Really, the question is here this morning, is how much of you does the Holy Spirit possess? That's the question. All of you or just part of you? Oh, you do see out here in the world many times you'll see people that look like super Christian. But it's not that they've got more of God than you do. The question is, God's got more of them. How about you? All of you? Or are you just willing to give just a little part of you to him? 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. One more, notice the unity. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, I just gave you five scriptures to prove what I've just taught here this morning. To explain all this is easy. All these faulty interpretations come about because people have a faulty understanding of the book of Acts. That is the problem out here in the church today.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
WMIE Radio, today's Modern Worship, has an official Facebook page. You can check it out,
like our posts, and leave a comment as well and follow us on 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship.